Am I irritated or angry? Ephesians chapter 4. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil opportunity. Did I do that? Guess what? You confess that, your spat's basically over. Is that me? Did I do that? Did I hold an attitude towards someone that was wrong and Satan is now using?
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, your message today tackles an important issue facing the church today.
Yes, it does, Dave, and we live in a world where conflict and disunity is a common denominator in our society, and yet the church is not excluded from conflicts among believers. But God's designed for his churches to be a place of harmony and unity. So today we're going to gain a practical understanding of how to deal with the issue of conflict and disputes in the church. Would you turn with us in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 2 and 3.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Yudia, stop saying that. Syndicate, stop saying that, whatever it was. They're wrong. You see what I'm saying? He doesn't do that. He doesn't address that. So it's my belief this is a personal issue, whether it's over methodology, personal interactions, whatever it is, there's a spat going on between these ladies. Now, we need to be careful to never let it get to that point, believers. We need to recognize through presumption comes much strife. You know, it's so easy to hear something from someone and misread what they're saying and misread it and then think a whole reality that's not reality, by the way, and then treat them differently because of that. And we should be going to people right away and say, hey, you said that, and I wonder what you meant by that. You know, we should go to people, or we should let it go. We should let it go. We need to address these things early before they get to this place. We need to know that love covers a multitude of sins. So yes, they said something that was insensitive. It's not their character. Let it go. Let it go. I heard a story where a person, you know, had come in and they were doing something for someone at the church. And the person came in and the guy goes, oh, just figures like that. And the person thought, oh, because he was late or whatever, okay? And he thought, oh, he's mad at me because I'm late. Well, the whole thing was the guy was basically saying, oh, this day's gone bad. It just figures it would go bad this way for me. My point is we can misunderstand stuff with one word. We need to ask what's going on or we need to let it go. So with this in mind, he comes and he says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. And it's really important that we see that Paul does not say, I urge you to work out this thing which I've heard is going on between you guys. I urge you to specifically address this issue of the color of the carpet or whatever it might be, whatever their spat was about. He doesn't address that. He does not address the issue between them. And that's really important. That's really important. We need to see that. He urges them to do what they should do, which will be the solution to the problem. See, so often we want to get into the issues and people will say, we'll talk to other people. They'll come on, hey, you know, so-and-so's got this. What do you think about that? And they'll talk to someone else and then you add someone else in that. And then all of a sudden there's a big problem. Go to that person. Do it privately, as we will say. The Apostle Paul does not get into the issues. He doesn't, because it's not important. What's important is that both of them, as we will see, have the mind of Christ, and that will weed out the issues. He says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. And you might not be able to see this, but in your English, they translate it rightly. He uses an unusual Greek construction where he uses the verb twice. You could say, I urge Euodia and Syntyche, and the urge applies to both. That's usually the way we would say it. Here he says, I urge Euodia, I urge Syntyche. Each one equally. You both need to have, as we will see, the mind of Christ. See, the Apostle Paul is not taking sides here. And that was my point earlier. Don't listen to someone they come to you to talk about someone else. Don't ever do that. If someone says, you know, I want to talk to you about this or that, or just slowly slips in something about this, just say, Go talk to them. Don't listen to it. It's sinful to do so. Don't do it. The Apostle Paul doesn't get into it. I urge Euodia, I urge Syntyche. Get your heads right in the Lord, as you're going to see. Okay? And he says here, to live in harmony. The term actually urge is parakaleo. It means to call alongside. And it's translated different ways, like urge or beg or appeal. I beg you, Euodia. I beg you, Syntyche. It's an exhortation to these two women. And then he says, to live in harmony. Now, the NESB translators have translated this word differently than many other translations, and I usually prefer the NESB. And the term harmony, it does convey maybe the sense of what should be happening here in terms of the result. But it doesn't convey what the intent of the author is, I believe. The Greek word translated to live in harmony here is phroneo, which means mind. You'll see in other versions, such as the New King James, they translate it mind. You'll see in your NESB, I do appreciate they put a little note in there, right on the side, literally the same mind. And that's really important for what we have seen so far in the book of Philippians. This book is about right thinking. And this word, phroneo, has been used throughout this book. And so we might miss that with this term, to live in harmony in the Lord. He has been making a case for same-mindedness in Christ, and now he's going to apply it directly to these ladies. And that's why the term to live in harmony, I don't think, is the best translation, because you might miss what he is building up to have the same mind. He is imploring them, and that term mind is actually modified by a term there, same. Same mind. Same thinking. That's what Paul shares, which will bring about unity and will arrest the disunity. That's what will do it. That's the solution. It is not sitting them down and going through all of the stuff they're going through. It is encouraging and exhorting them to think like Christ in regards to one another and the circumstances, as we're going to see. That's the solution. So with that in mind, we need to look at what we've seen so far. Throughout the book of Philippians, we've seen that we are to be same-minded. Look back in chapter 2, verse 1. And we'd be reminded, what does it mean to be same-minded? Paul says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection, compassion, make my joy complete, being of the same mind. Think the same way. Maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. It's actually one-mindedness, again. Intent on one purpose. It's the term phroneo, which means to think, to hold an opinion of. It speaks of our thoughts, our attitudes, and our attitudes. And when we have that term same, it's not, it means same thinking. True unity is seen in like-mindedness. The same mind, having the mind of Christ. Look at chapter 2, verse 5. He says, have this attitude, NASB, it should be translated mind. Have this thinking in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is what Euodia and Syntyche need to do. This is the solution to their difficulty. Having the mind of Christ. One, not seeing equality with one another as something not to be grasped, right? Seeing others as more important than themselves first. Then emptying oneself in that sense, humbly. Humbly being obedient to God's will, even to the point of death, the mind of Christ. I'm going to obey the Lord when he says, let it go. Forgive. Love covers the multitude of sins. I'm going to obey the Lord when he says presumption causes strife. I'm going to obey the Lord in that. I want to have his mind towards them rather than my mind towards them. And that's the solution. And we see that. It's the renewal of the mind. But how do we get the mind of Christ? How do we have his mind? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You'll remember we saw this back when we were in chapter 2 of Philippians. The Apostle Paul is working on the pride of the Corinthians in chapters 1 through 3, that they would not boast. And he gives an illustration of himself in how he came to them preaching, not in his own power or wisdom, but by God's power. Not speaking words of wisdom, but words empowered by the Spirit of God. That your faith would not rest in man, but in God. And he talks about the fact that they've received wisdom. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, now we have received, chapter 2, verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. In context, it's what he just said, those things which were hidden, that eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It's the word of God. It's been given to us, to those who love him. And he says, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man, that's a non-believer, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? Who could understand what God is thinking? But he says, but we have the mind of Christ. We have God's thoughts in his word. We have his thoughts towards the way our attitude should be. We have his thoughts towards the way we should see one another. We have his thoughts concerning how we should react when people wrong us. We have his thoughts that he wants us to act upon and to think like his son Jesus, who is the perfect example, who didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself, became a bondservant, and then humbling, became obedient to the point of death. So we apply the word of God. We want to see someone the way Christ sees them from his word. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we are not to be conformed to this world, but transformed through the renewing of your mind. You've got to renew your mind before you get to that point where Satan gets a hold and it becomes a big, difficult, bad thing, which can mess up a lot of people. You see, when people who aren't following the Lord have spats and they're not involved in this, they're never around, whatever, they're not serving the Lord actively because they don't have the Spirit of God, when they're spatting and whatever, that's just a distraction. Ministry is not pulled away because they're not ministering, they don't have the Spirit of God. But when people who truly have the Spirit of God, who are following Christ, get in a difficulty, that affects the ministry. And so Paul says, I urge Euodia, I urge Syntyche, be same-minded. Now, it doesn't mean they're thinking the same thing. It means they're thinking what they're thinking is the way the Lord would think about it. How would the Lord think about what is happening right now? How would the Lord think about my heart towards you? How would the Lord think about your heart towards me? How would the Lord think about your reaction to me? How would the Lord think about my reaction to you? What does his word say? That's the only place I'm going to find it. It's the only place I'm going to find it. So I need to have the word dwelling richly in my heart. I need to be in the word so that it can convict me by the Spirit when my attitudes are wrong. It can direct me and correct me and train me that I would be a man of God adequate. You'd be a godly woman adequate, godly men and women. Adequate, equipped for every good work. So then, to be same-minded, we must have God's truth reigning in our thoughts. Now, it's not simply Bible verses. I've met a lot of people who have God's truth in their head, but it isn't applied to their heart and their actions. They can spout off verses left and right, but they don't apply it to the thing that is right in front of them. Whether it's raising their kids, whether it's how they interact with one another, you got to apply the word of God. And it's a battle. It's a good fight of faith. It's a good thing. And we're to press forward to Christ-likeness, not looking back. You see, that's why it's so important that pastors preach the word, to equip the saints for the works of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, Ephesians 4. So important. You see why it's so ludicrous to try to bring unity through dealing with the issues apart from changing the mindset in regards to those issues. When we think biblically, humbly receiving the word, when it's dwelling richly in us, we set our mind on the things above, when we submit to God and his word, there's going to be unity. Because we're going to realize we're sinners and we're messing up at times. We're going to confess and we're going to treat others who are sinning against us the right way. The defining mark of true unity is being of the same mind. Paul said back in chapter 2, make my joy complete, verse 2, by being of the same mind. You want to make your shepherd happy? Think like Jesus. You want to grieve him? Just think the way you used to think. You'll do that if you're not transformed. So then, Do you want to know why you don't get along with your spouse at times? Do you want to know why you have difficulties with other believers at times? Do you want to know why you have trouble at work? Do you want to know why there's lacking unity between true believers at times? It's because Christ's word is not reigning in the heart so as to affect attitudes and behavior towards one another. So then back to our passage. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony. And notice he says, in the Lord. In the Lord. It's impossible apart from being in Christ. You see, when we came to faith in Jesus Christ, we were placed into the body of Christ. We are in him, but we have to abide in him too. We need to trust him. We need to rely on him. I can know all the stuff. You can walk out of here today knowing everything I've said, but if you don't trust him and abide in him, it is fruitless and worthless. Apart from faith, it is impossible to please God. I need to trust God that when I apply his word to my heart, that he's going to take care of stuff. No matter how much it may blow up in my face or whatever it might be, I trust the Lord. He says, be same-minded in the Lord. There's a reliance, there's a relationship. So then with that in mind, we see very specifically that we are to have the same mind. That's the solution. But let me give you some specific applications based on our passage, because what Paul does first is he addresses them to work it out first. And that's always the way we see it in Scripture. You two work it out. But I guess it had gotten so bad that he said, come alongside, then help them, right? So how do we do this? So let's say you're in a conflict with another believer. You're both following the Lord, but yet there's a conflict. There's a spat going on. What do you do? Well, first of all, we need to address ourselves first. Am I irritated or angry? Ephesians chapter 4. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil opportunity. Did I do that? Guess what? You confess that? Your spat's basically over. Is that me? Did I do that? Did I hold an attitude towards someone that was wrong and Satan is now using? Did I get mad? Did I get upset? Very important to recognize that. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22, an angry man stirs up strife. Proverbs 30, 33, for the churning of milk produces butter and the pressing of the nose brings forth blood. So the churning of anger produces strife. You see, now with believers, we don't churn anger. We modify it, right? It becomes irritation. We don't confess it. We got to confess it. So how am I irritated? Am I angry? Confess it. Get right. And as we'll see in each one of these things, you go to the person that's in the situation and apologize. You confess to the Lord first. Secondly, have I taken offense at anything? Am I holding on to anything? Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Did I get offended? Did someone say or do something that offended me? We'll see if we hold on to that, we're the problem. We got to deal with ourselves first. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm not going to read the whole portion, but look at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is impatient. No, that's not it, right? When we're impatient, we're not walking in the Lord, right? Love is patient. That means someone says something that's not right, you trust the Lord, you endure through it. You're patient. Love is what? Angry. No, it's kind. There should be kindness. Kindness towards people around us, our kids, everyone. Kindness. Love is kind. Is not jealous. Does not brag. Love does not brag, nor arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. Does not seek its own. Is not what? Provoked. If you are being provoked by the circumstance, in that moment, brother and sister, you're not being led by the Lord. You got to give it over to him. You got to renew your mind. It's a signal. It's a signal. Love isn't provoked. So I let God's word indicate to me I'm going the wrong way. And I address it and trust him. And he says here, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Doesn't have a list. You got a list about people. If you have anything in your heart about a list of people, you got a problem. And you are the problem in the conflict, by the way. Let the word of God address your heart, because this happens with believers who are following the Lord. Euodia, Syntyche, following the Lord. Entrenched in the fight for the gospel. Yet they've let these things happen. They need to renew their minds in Christ. What about, am I unforgiving? Have I not forgiven someone? 2 Corinthians 2 says that we know Satan's schemes. We're not to be unforgiving. We give him an advantage. We do so. Do I lack his love? 1 Peter 4:8. Love covers a multitude of sins. Am I seeing the other person in this circumstance in light of God's word as more important than myself? If I'm not, I'm lacking his love and I am the problem. And lastly, there's a whole bunch. This is just examples of applying the word. Lastly, have I presumed? Now, I gave you a horrible example of that earlier, but you probably didn't understand the illustration I gave. But the reality is we are not to presume. It's arrogant. It's ungodly. And we do it a lot. And I see at the root of much strife and difficulty is presumption. Proverbs 13:10, we see here, through presumption comes nothing but strife. Guess what? If you presume about someone, the only outcome is strife. That's it. So I look at it and I look at that. Have I presumed? Now, as a shepherd, by the way, I'm supposed to watch over the flock. And I'm supposed to watch over your spiritual condition. And there are times at which there are things that happen that aren't complete, but they sure point to something. It sure looks like that might be the case. Guess what? I deliberately do not make the conclusion because I don't know for sure. And I know that if it really is, God will have something else show eventually. It'll eventually be manifest if it really is. So I don't do it. Don't you do it. You see, when someone says something to you, don't presume you know the motive, that you know what's going on behind that. When you do, the outcome is strife. You might need to ask them, hey, what did you mean by that? Oh, really? I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Right? You know, I mean, you don't presume. So the first thing is, am I the problem? So I take God's word and I apply it over my life first. And if I am, I confess to the Lord, I'm forgiven, praise the Lord. Far as the east is the west, and I go to my brother or sister and I say, look, I'm really sorry. I was presumptive about that. Or if it's just maybe you didn't love them and maybe they were messing up and you know God wanted you to let it be covered, you just go, hey, I'm sorry for my attitude toward you. It's that simple. So then, first of all, we are to examine ourselves in light of the Word of God. And it's only after that, if we don't have sin in the circumstance and the spat is still there, then we go to the other person, okay? It's only after we know that we're right and our mind is thinking like Christ. And we go to the other person. And at that time, most of the time, love covers a multitude of sins. Most of the time, we just let it go even if they did mess up. Even if they were late or they were insensitive or they said something that hurt my feelings for the moment. Even if they did, we let it go. But if it's gotten to that point, which is very rare, and that's a situation here where it's not going away, you may need to go to that person.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's teaching, what final thoughts do you have for us?
Well, Dave, as we've seen today, the solution for unresolved conflicts in the church starts with having the mind of Christ. And I just can't overemphasize that fact. You see, it's impossible to have unity in the church apart from Christ working in the hearts and minds of those in the body of Christ. So with that in mind, we need to be in the Word of God, confessing sins so that we would be thinking the way the Lord would want us to think. And when that happens, we have unity in the church.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.